This is HPR episode 2768 entitled, Writing Web Game in Haskell, Planetary Statuses. It is hosted by Tuku Toroto, and is about 19 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, Tutorto describes system for recording planetary statuses in their game.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello, you are listening to Hacker Public Radio, and this is Tuukka Turoto. Today I'm talking about, once again, writing a web game in Haskell and focusing on the planet statuses. So in the episode 2748, I talked about how to add special events to the game. And one drawback of that system that I described there, it describes how cracky worms can attack the planets. One drawback of that system that I described there is that it did not take into account the fact that there might already be a cracky attack ongoing. So you could have two attacks ongoing on the same planet, and that would be a bit confusing for the player, because then you could deal with the one and the other one would continue and so on. So this time we are looking into how to prevent this. Also, the system that I'm talking now can be used for other things too, like, for example, how to record that a certain planet has a particularly good harvest season. First thing we need is some data types to represent things, and I create a data type planetary status that lists all different types of statuses that there might be. And it's just a data planetary status equals good harvest, 5 poor harvest, 5 cracky attack. And there's some more there, but those cases aren't interesting for this episode. And since we are going to store this in the database, we also need to generate code for that. So we are adding a derived persist field, planetary status in quotation marks. Now, this allows us to declare a database table where column data type is a planetary status. Or actually, on a database, it is a varchar, but to us it looks like it would be a planetary status. I could have stored this as a plain strings, but declaring a separate data type ensures that the compiler will catch if I make a typo. And also in a function type signature, it's much easier to read when it reads a planetary status instead of string. Like, you know what you are doing with this thing. With strings, you have to always sort of second guess. Okay, that's for storing. That's different statuses that the planet might have. We also need a way to store them into the database. So we are in the models file. There's a definition planet status, planet ID, status, planetary status, expiration int maybe, deriving, so read equal. So that defines a database table, planet_status, and a respective Haskell data type, planet status. And there will be one row in database for each status that a planet has. I could have stored them as a list, but then there would be a one row per planet, and that would have a statuses. But searching that list might have been a, when you want to know if some given planet has some specific status, it's easier to just query the database for that planet's ID and specific status instead of querying that planet's ID, getting that list of statuses and then checking that list if the element you are looking for is there. Okay. The expiration. Well, the planet ID, of course, links to the planet that we are talking about. Status is the what status is in effect. So that's from that list that we defined just a moment ago. Expiration is for telling when the status expires. And because it's a int maybe, it creates a column expiration in the database that has does not have not null constraint. All the other fields or columns in that table has not null constraint, but this one doesn't have. This is also reflected in the planet status data type that has the planet status expiration field, which data type is maybe int instead of int. So it might or might not have value. So some statuses will expire automatically, while some others will stay there until explicitly removed. I originally chose to represent time as an int because it was easy. And recently I have been wondering if that has been a really good decision. I might have to get return to that decision and make a real data type for that. But for now, it's int. Okay, now we have a table where we can store info about that the planet has a status, some status. So we are going to return to the Kraki attack. These are worms that might attack a planet that has a population of 10 or greater, or that have a farm, 5 farming complexes and some population. So in this query, we are going to have to add a new join. I'm not going to read out the whole code because the actual database query it's pretty long. And while it's not that complex, it's still pretty complicated looking. So the idea here is that when we were loading a planet from planet table and joining to the population and building tables, we are also joining to the planet status table. And if there's a planet status Kraki attack ongoing, we are omitting that planet, which means that there won't be any Kraki attacks on a planet that already has a problem with Kraki worms. Okay. And that's actually only thing that is needed for dealing with the problem. So now we are not going to get a Kraki attack on a planet that already has a Kraki worms in it. This means, of course, that we need to insert into the when a Kraki attack starts. We need to insert a record that this planet has a planet status. And this is done by in the code that deals with the start of the Kraki attack that randomly selects a planet where to attack and creates a special event and creates a news event. There we add a creation of the planet status and saving that into the database. So this one I'm trying to read aloud. So it's inside a do block. So it's let status reg equals planet status dollar diamond fmat entity key planet dollar asterisk diamond just cracky attack asterisk diamond just nothing. And then on the next map m insert status reg. So the map m insert status reg just it inserts that record that we created just on a previous one. And the reason we are using those dollar diamond and asterisk diamond operators, dollar diamond is just a those angle brackets with a dollar in between. So smaller than dollar greater than, and the asterisk diamond is a smaller than asterisk greater than. Those are used because the planet might or might not be found. If we are in a case that we have a planet, then the fmap entity key planet will return just planet. But if we did not find a suitable planet, that will return nothing. If it returns nothing, then the planet status will be nothing. And if it found a planet, then it will be a, then we can continue and use that dollar asterisk to add the status, just cracky attack, and the just nothing, which is the expiration. And this will create just planet status. And when we are saving it, the map insert status reg will save it only if we have a just planet status. If we have nothing, then it does nothing. This is really nice because we could write a code that checks that did we have a planet or not in two different, and did we create a planet status and then save it. The code checks, our program checks that if those cases are true, but we did not have to write them out. We just say that this is what I want to do and you deal with the little details. It might be a good idea to look the show notes at this point. It's easier to follow from there, actually. But the bottom line is that when the crackies attack, we can create a planet status record on the database telling that this planet now has a cracky infestation. Second piece of the puzzle is the status removal. It can happen manually or automatically at the given time. The former method is what we are using for the cracky attack here, because it's not time bound. It will continue until the worms leave on their own volition, or if the farmers of the field manage to deal with them. So we had a code that was called remove news, that basically just rolled a die and check if we manage to remove the worms, and then recorded the data that is needed to create news about the event to the player. But that there we are going to add a delete. So it's going to be lift dollar delete where square bracket planet status planet ID equals dot cracky worms planet ID event comma planet status equals stop cracky attack close bracket. So the this delete where is that just creates a SQL statement delete from planet status
where planet status delete from planet status where planet ED ID equals to that ID that the event has hand and status equals cracky attack. So this is because we chose to represent those statuses one row in the database per planet and status combination. It's easy to delete. We can just remove one row and that's it. If we had stored them in a list, then we would have to load the list, load that single row, modify the list to remove that status from there, and then update that back to the database. Much more complicated. Well, not complicated, but a bit more action to do. And the removal of the expired statuses is done in the based on the data. So it's essentially the same thing, but we are using the less than equals dot operator to compare the expiration of the current time and the expiration column in the database. And there we don't even have to use the planet status ID because we can just delete all the, we don't have to go through the statuses per planet, we can just remove all the expired ones. So, like I mentioned before, the statuses can be used for other things. One such thing that I have been tinkering with is the recording particularly good OPPO harvest season. So when such an event occurs, we are just going to create a new record with a good harvest status and attach that to a planet. And when we are calculating the food production or farming output of a planet, we can query if this planet has a status that affects to the production and take it into the account. And while this system is for planet statuses only, the similar system can be built for other uses. I have a vision or idea that it would work, for example, for the star system level. You can have something that affects on the whole star system, or it can be a spaceship level. You can have a spaceship that has a that is exploring a galaxy and suddenly has some malfunction that causes problem. I can store this similar system. There's that info. So it only needs that we create a new table in the database that links status and that entity that the status affects to each other. Of course, there's a report system for this because players are pretty much never shown the true status of the game. They are not shown that this planet has this list of statuses. There's a separate table that is used to record the info about what players now know about planet statuses. And when they are shown info about planet, the data is retrieved from that table and not this not actual planet status table. This allows that different players have a different view of the world or universum of the game. But that's about it. If you have any questions, comments, don't hesitate, contact me. The easiest way nowadays is to either email or on Fediverse, where I'm tuturto@mastodon.social. And of course you can record your own Hacker Public Radio episode. Ad Astra.
You You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.